I'm here. Well, we're all here. But Caleb Downs is here, and if you needed another layer of reassurance that he's going nowhere, he provided it after practice on Wednesday. These are snap judgments that are brought to you by Byers Auto.
Did somebody ask him if those rumors on social media were true?
He was asked to respond to them about Caden Proctor. That's Bill Landis, Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. Yes, he was asked to respond to this new world order where there was speculation about Caleb Downs for life. If he was for life at Ohio State.
So we are now living in a world where random Twitter accounts can create a
Welcome to the future.
A completely fake story just in order to troll your rival, and that becomes something that we have to waste our time talking to players about.
I think he had to ask, be asked about it. I actually don't disagree with you asking him about it. There were enough people talking about it. It's ludicrous, but I think you have to ask
him. Why were people talking about it?
Because the internet's a wild place, Berm. And everyone has a blue check mark, and you can say whatever you want. People think it's real.
That's why I say, if you needed it, and I'm not saying that you, America, specifically did, or that Berm did, which he clearly did not, and we'd also seen Caleb Downs spending more time on this practice field than just about anybody. Every time we've been in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for spring practice, we've heard about him acclimating. He talked about how much he loved High Street, which who doesn't? Going out and finding good food.
I don't really love High Street.
Oh. It used to be more fun than it is now.
I was more fun than I am now, so I guess that adds up.
Yeah, you are not a young, talented, generational athlete.
Maybe I'm not the High Street demographic.
It used to be.
I'm not the High Street demo these days.
I think you would probably kill it there if you were interested, but that's your business.
Do you know what Riz means?
I do.
Wow, we got off track.
You think Caleb Downs is the Rizzler?
He's probably got Riz, yeah.
Yeah, without question.
That
anyway,
probably makes High Street more fun. Anyway,
McQuarrie raved about him.
He's good at football and he's committed to Ohio State for the duration. He did talk to Caden Proctor about it, and he talked. He provided more insight on this non-story than he should have, or could have, or needed to. Any of those things, but I mean,
it's that commitment to depth and thoroughness that makes him the football player he is, according to McQuarrie, who said that It forces McQuarrie to be a better coach because Caleb Downs works as hard as he does and studies as much as he does and is out here on the practice field as much as he is. Because as you said, like, we've been in here only for three practices, but every time we get in here after practice, he's the last guy out here really working. So it is a situation where the rising tide is lifting all boats, I think, in the safety room. Fans may not see that next weekend, I don't think, because I don't know that he'll play much in the spring game.
And neither will Lathan Ransom.
As they don't really need to, but it is making a big impact on the rest of the safeties.
Now, Caleb Downs did cause a little bit of a stir because he called McQuarrie a liar. He
did.
For saying that was true and that McQuarrie was working extra hard just to coach Caleb Downs. He said, no, McQuarrie was already here all that time and is already super smart, and I'm just trying to learn.
Yeah, no, he was nice. He threw McQuarrie a bone. Like and I think you do pick up on that when you talk to McQuarrie. And it's not that I'm not making comparisons, but it's just like that's a guy who I think I heard Berm talking about Carlos Lachlan and like his approach to things because he's like new to this and wants to prove that he is deserving of the station that he's in. And I kind of pick up on similar vibes from McQuarrie, who's like been a coordinator, but you're at a place like Ohio State as a position coach. It's a high profile spot. I think it's a guy that puts a lot into his work. So the two of them, Caleb Downs and McQuarrie, I think are both kind of pushing that safety room to a different level than it was, and it was pretty freaking good last year.
Yeah, and again, we won't probably see that in a week and a half's time in the horseshoe because, Lathan Ransom has done some individual work. Malik Hartford is out with a shoulder injury. Caleb Downs will not need to play much. What do we think? 10, 15 snaps he might get in that game, if more than that. That's
series or two.
That's pretty much the way Ohio State has managed.
Well, we don't know how the game's going to be, so.
That's true. We'll find out next week. But my guess, my bold pee already, is that he wouldn't play more than 15 snaps in that game because he doesn't need to. And then that just means we'll get a look at Jaden Bonsu and Inky Jones and some other guys. And that's fine because the real work is being done in these scrimmages in the Woody. So
that is the hard part, though. If you look at the safety position, which we're talking about because we had McQuarrie out here today and we did talk to Caleb Downs, but there is – not any need for Lathan Ransom to participate in the spring game. There's not really any need for Caleb Downs. Malik Hartford has been non-contact all spring, so he won't be out there. You have Jalen McClain, the true freshman. You have Jaden Bonsu. You have Cedric Hawkins. You have walk-ons. So those other guys are going to get a lot of reps. And in some ways, it's probably exactly what Jaden Bonsu needed this spring, in order to take the next step. And he's a guy physically that is, we talked about on Monday's podcast daily, like he does look like what you want Ohio State safety to look like, but that adjustment from high school to college is a tough one for everyone. And he struggled to stay healthy a year ago. If it did not play, like I think of the true freshmen in the class of 2023, I think he probably played, you know, he didn't play a snap. I don't remember. Well, so
maybe on special teams. Okay.
It's certainly a situation where a kid from New Jersey there, this is an important spring for him to see if he really fits it in here and belongs here. And the word, the buzz from Guerrieri is that he's buying in, he's learning, he's getting better. And, you know, you hope that these kids have this opportunity to take advantage of it, because the depth at safety, which was a year ago, you're like, oh my God, there's so many safeties. And now you're like, yeah, I don't know what's going on at safety, especially the longer Malik Hartford is unavailable.
I was not at McGarry for the whole thing. Was he, I don't know if you guys were or not, was he asked about Jahad Carter at all? Was that name uttered today?
I did not hear it.
I didn't hear any mention of Jahad Carter.
And I didn't just say it either, so I completely forgot about it. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, as did I. It's an interesting spot to look at, I think. I mean, we talk about safety depth, because like, if he's around and he's healthy, this guy's played a lot of football. But
we didn't see him, see him on Saturday. Yeah. I've not seen him after, I don't believe, any practices working out. So I don't have any recollection. And that's also why I didn't really think to ask about it. He's been...
Yeah.
To my estimation, out of sight and out of mind for Ohio State.
Yeah, and like, you know, I mean, if Malik Hartford provides depth for sure, but you want, I think you want Jaden Bonsu to be a guy that you can rely upon if needed, because it does get thin there rather quickly, I think.
Right, there was still more to get into with the Silver Bullets, because James Laurinaitis was out there on the field after practice on Wednesday, practice number 10, and talking, surprise, Bill, a lot about CJ Hicks and Sonny Styles.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask him, I didn't get a chance to because he kind of like jetted out of here when he was done, about whether or not there is, what's the right word? Like, whether there's going to be like an emphasis or whether they feel like they really need to be intentional about utilizing this athleticism that they have on hand in the linebacker room. And I don't mean to be disparaging to what they've had previously. I just think we could all acknowledge that the combination of CJ Hicks, Sonny Styles, and Harville Reese are a little different than what they've had in that room the last couple of years. And I feel like James like started down that road a little bit with some of the stuff he was talking about early on, and the blitzing and like what we saw from CJ in the practice the other day. And Sonny, I think, being a guy who's maybe got to think a little less in those situations and just rely on that natural athleticism. So we saw it 2 years ago, I think, when Jim Knowles first got here. They really, Tommy Eichenberg especially, they just kind of used him as a missile through the middle of the defense a lot. And he racked up a ton of tackles and turned a lot of heads and garnered a lot of attention. I think we could be looking at something similar with CJ and Sonny and Arvell, if Arvell gets to play too. And like, I'm really excited about that. There's a trade-off there, I guess, right? You don't maybe have the soundness in the box that you'd like to have all the time, but I would much rather see those guys making it a long day for opposing quarterbacks. And if last Friday is any indication, I think they might do that this fall.
But you have the luxury of doing that this fall because you have Caleb Downs and a healthy Layton Ransom back. So you maybe can get a touch more explosive, a touch more aggressive with the linebackers and take advantage of what those guys do well, because they are different. I mean, it is a different group athletically. I've said it 16 times this week. Like, it's
say it again.
It's a freak show. It's a freak show. Those are some different dudes.
Yeah. Well, and James talked about that. So I asked if it was more of a specific day that we saw. Are you just installing blitz packages? We happen to catch it. Or is that more of the direction that you think this defense could be going? And it was sort of a little of this and a little of that, that they are putting in, he said, more pressure packages than they did at this time a year ago. And then they have maybe for the last couple of years. And that it is because you have to take what your players do best. And sending C.J. Hicks and Sonny Styles with a rocket strapped to their back at the quarterback or at a running back in the backfield is going to probably lead to some really good results. That's also not just a product, Berm, of what you're talking about with faith in the secondary, but also belief in what Tyleek Williams or Ty Hamilton can do to create some of those blitz gaps potentially. I'm not an X's and O's expert, but I think it all works together, that there's so much veteran experience and know-how that if that's what those two guys do the best and can get them in the biggest position to change the shape of the defense, then you do that.
I think too, think back to when we talked to Jim Knowles, that was like probably 2-3 weeks ago now, and not even when he was at the microphone, I think Berm and I were just kind of like shooting the crap with him back here against the wall. And
crap shooting.
And he said, it was interesting because like last year he was like, I used to be a guy who was like, validated by tackles for loss and sacks, and that's how he kind of made a name for himself. And he pulled back on that last year, but like he still wants to do it. Like, I don't think it was all that fun for him last year to have a defense that wasn't really causing a lot of havoc in the backfield, and I think they're going to get back to that this year because of what they have at the linebacker position. Like, I would be surprised, I think, if we don't see a serious uptick in what's happening behind the line of scrimmage with this defense. And you make a good point to bring up the defensive line because they're a huge part of it. And maybe it wasn't quite syncing up the right way the first year Jim Knowles was here with the defensive line doing what it needed to do to help the second level. And then last year was like, the defensive line's awesome. Why do we have to blitz all the time? And so they didn't. I think now the defensive line is very good. The linebackers are very athletic. TFL City.
TFL City. Wow.
Welcome.
Head on out to TFL Island. The Bucs are founding it. It was also nice to see Berm, as we talked about for the last couple of days. Carlos Lachlan has arrived. He got out there right away. We talked to Dallin Hayden and Quinshon Judkins about their existing relationship with him. They didn't need to Google him. They didn't need to find any interview footage to get caught up. They already knew what he could bring to them. There was also another coach that I had not seen out here in other days. Maybe Bill, you did. Berm, I don't know. Tim Drevno has arrived as well in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. So the former UCLA, San Francisco 49ers, Michigan position coach is going to be an offensive analyst, quality control. I don't know what exact title he's going to have, but he's also here. So late spring, couple more coaches adding to the arsenal here.
I was disappointed the players weren't familiar with the soft bets cookie anecdote.
Yeah, that one. You threw it out there for Quinshon Judkins, and it did not land.
Swing and a miss for me. It happens. I thought that, like, the guy, it's in his Twitter profile.
Yeah.
It's all over his Twitter profile. I guess I overestimated how much players look at social media. But, yeah, it's good to see him out here. I got the sense that, like, he got to practice probably – midway through. I don't think it was like him coaching or him basically probably just today in a watch role and watching interim running backs coach Ryan Day handle that position along with Tony Johnson.
Famously his only title. So
that's his only responsibility. But yeah, I mean, you're going to look at a team. Those guys seem pretty excited. I it kind of went over my head that Quinshon Judkins and Carlos Lachlan are both from Montgomery, Alabama. Like they have some roots that he coached in Memphis where Dallin Hayden is from. So there's all these little ties that you're all of a sudden like, that makes sense. I'm looking forward to seeing what that does to the room. I thought today was a prime example. We get Dallin Hayden out here, and I can understand from his perspective and from players' perspective sometimes why they hate doing media sessions. Because it was like, here's a kid who –
Well, you started with the Caleb Downs frustration, and now that's spilling over to Dallin Hayden.
It's like he's just – no one's asking, hey, how's your spring going? How are you enjoying the new offense? How are you – how do you fit in with this group? It's all, how come you're still here? Why didn't you leave? Are you pissed? Are you mad about this? Like, why are – like, we can do better.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the – I understand the line of questioning. I do. But, like, he's here.
It's the world we're in. I think you're right. I think like their mere presence in the chair in front of you should probably be enough. But
he didn't have to say yes to the media, right? Like he could say, no thanks, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
He did. And he's here. And so is Caleb Downs. So we got to the bottom of that for you after practice number 10. What do you got, Berm?
I got one more thing.
Josh Simmons. Yeah. I was out here. I don't know if you spent any time with him.
A little bit, yeah.
You talked to an
offensive lineman?
I did.
I could not help but notice how different he looked.
Yeah, I said the same thing to Austin.
And he said he dropped his body fat percentage from 28% last year to now 16%.
So let's flash back to what we were talking about. I don't think that that's what happened to Josh Fryer, but I absolutely think lean is the word to describe Josh Simmons.
And he said he was still about 308 pounds. I'm like, holy moly.
He's carrying it well.
And he said he was just very excited about the direction the offensive line is going with Chip Kelly's influence and his style of run games.
Carved up.
Yeah. I just wanted to add, because I didn't notice that Tim Drevno was here when you sent that text to our Texas Grabbers. I was like, oh, that's cool. I said on an episode of Kings of Columbus many weeks ago that I think Ohio State's going to lead the country in rushing. I would like to double down on that now with the presence of Tim Drevno here. Offensive line guy, Jim Harbaugh guy, Chip Kelly guy, run game guy. run the rock.
It's what I said on this morning's podcast. You know, like everything this offseason is like, well, they're going to run it.
Yeah.
You add a guy like Lachman, the physical style of Oregon's backs. They're like, okay, they're going to run it. You, Chip Kelly, they're going to run it. Kiwisha Judkins, they're going to run it. Like
Will Howard, what he's done to talk about, you know, we've already seen Ryan Day want to get Devin Brown involved in red zone packages in the past. If he wins the starting job, like he can run, they won't hesitate to do that. Yeah. Like, all of that is trending towards this team running the rock.
Run the damn ball.
Run. That just sounds like a great hat.
I wish I was wearing it right now.
Oh, all right. Well, these have been Snap Judgments. They're brought to you by Byers Auto. A week and a half to go until the spring game. Well, what do we got left? No more availability this week, but a lot more coming next week. We'll still have the podcast daily coming. We've got some Buck Nines that are ready to go. So stay with us on the podcast wherever you find us on your audio or video platforms. That's Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. We'll see you next time.